This is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is ubiquitous tactics writer and Atletico supporter, Carlo Valladares. Carlo Valladares is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, in which we try to break down the Chelsea catastrophe, Atletico's heartbreaking last gasp defeat at the hands, more accurately the feet, of Chelsea in Champions League group stage match day 2 at the Wanda Metropolitano. It was heartbreaking stuff, and while it probably ends Atletico's hopes of winning group C, does it impact Atleti's chances of advancing past the group stage? We'll discuss the possibilities and the probabilities contained therein. We'll also offer a tactical analysis of the much ballyhooed Conte versus Simeone battle, which Antonio Conte won. Diego Simeone's adjustments were not enough to offset the superiority of Conte's side in midfield and in defense. We'll analyze all that, and we'll also preview Atleti's trip to Leganés on Saturday, the final league game before the international break. Atleti are in need of a win, but they didn't win at Butarque last season, and they now face a Leganés side that has the second-best defense in La Liga through 6 weeks. Before we proceed, a couple housekeeping notes. Make sure to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat, if you so choose, on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and or TuneIn. Leave a rating and review on iTunes, really helps the podcast's visibility. And head over to Colt Gennaro Chat's Patreon page if you're interested in becoming a patron, if you're interested in supporting the show. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Again, Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Give back to the show like we give the show to you every week, sometimes twice a week. We'll be back with Carlo Valladares after this.
Analysis. It's not... I was expecting to do it for a win, but...
Yeah,
what are
I
you
bet.
Do?
Well, that's perfect timing, honestly, that you're working on it right now as we start the podcast. That's just excellent.
Yeah, I'm just finishing this up.
Awesome. So I'm going to start by saying, or by asking, rather. I know it's a really general question, but it's by design. Carlo, what on earth happened on Wednesday at the Wanda Metropolitano?
It was a game in which... Chelsea came out with a clear plan to limit the risk around their penalty area and just hit us on the break. And with Morata and Hazard in particular, they were very good with their movement, and they had some great midfield service. But I don't think it was as good as a before. I mean, it was solid, but. Anyone saying that Chelsea dominated Atleti is talking out of their butt, because there were plenty of times where Atletico pushed Chelsea back and created, but the final ball, the shot just wasn't at a level where you can actually break down Chelsea, which you really have to play some phenomenal football around the penalty area to get past Courtois.
Yeah, you do, and Atleti were not playing that kind of football. To me, it was, in some ways, it was a very un-Atleti performance. I think Simeone wanted to get off to a really fast start, but he couldn't. He wanted to get off to a really fast start, call off the dogs, and just kind of give Chelsea the ball and dare them to break, the defense down. That's not what happened.
Yeah,
possession
that's
was...
That's exactly what he wanted to do.
Possession was literally even. I think Chelsea had maybe one more pass than Atletico did. It was like 500 to 499. It was evenly distributed.
In the first half, it was even. And in the second half, Chelsea, for most of it, had the ball more.
Yeah, it was very un-Atleti in that way. But I think Chelsea were clearly the better side. So what did they do so well, and what did Atletico do so poorly? And was Atletico's performance a function of how well Chelsea played, or was it just Atleti being bad?
I've seen worse Atletico performances in terms of creation. I saw that we liked to play very wide. When we tried to attack Chelsea's penalty area, we tried to attack from the flanks. A lot of, three-man combinations, and then cross it in, try to find a low pass to Griezmann or Carrasco, something of that nature. Notice we didn't really try building up centrally. I think mainly because we didn't really want to have to deal with the Chelsea counterattack of Hazard and Morata coming, building up from the middle. So we tried to force them to defend their flanks, and we just couldn't really create anything. There was a couple times where Juanfran maybe got some openings, but he did nothing with his low pass, nothing with his cross.
Yeah.
Koke was getting touches, dictating the play, but then again, it was really just, you know, receiving horizontal passes, because Chelsea was giving Atletico so much space to work with that, you know, Koke wasn't really, he got a lot of touches, as I think we saw on Axis on Twitter. He got a lot of touches, but he wasn't creating much. He was just touching the ball and then redistributing horizontally. And
yeah.
So we try to, you know, just play direct, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, I intimated this on Twitter a couple hours ago, but Koke, 94 touches, led everyone, and more than half of those touches came in Chelsea's half of the pitch. So how can Koke, and we've talked about this before, how can Koke manage that many touches and yet still not make any kind of impact on the game?
I think, logically, given that Chelsea are undoubtedly, to me, top three defensive unit, when they want to be negative, Chelsea can shut down, to me, any team in Europe. I mean, we have to see what the ties are later on, but to me, this is really goes to just Chelsea being that solid defensively, that we have a team that, we've spoken about this before, when it comes to breaking down a parked bus, I guess you could say, we're not the best team at doing that at all.
No. Very much not.
Our players are just not, a lot of our players spent so many years in a system that was just the opposite. It was soak up the pressure and then find the holes in the opposition for a counterattack. And now you have players that their development toward, you know, breaking down teams with such little space, it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. I noticed, other than Hazard and Morata, who were both excellent, they both got a lot of the plaudits. Hazard in particular, he was sensational. But Chelsea just seemed to just outnumber Atletico everywhere in midfield. I think Atletico got beat up in midfield. They needed more pace out there. Carrasco's pace was matched by both wingbacks. And why do you think, maybe not what the cause of that was, but Atleti's midfield has been pretty solid this season, and Tomas slotting in there has given a lot of energy. It's given midfield a bit more physicality. Just Chelsea were just seemingly better at that, I guess, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, I mean, by no means did either team impose themselves in terms of possession, where they combined like crazy all throughout the pitch. Neither team really is good at doing that. So you often saw Chelsea just crowd the midfield, and then players, once they'll maybe form maybe like a 4 or 5 man unit, they'll break, and the wing backs will push high, and then they'll try to just find a long ball to the wing backs and then just feed a lot of crosses. And that's how they scored that goal with Morata. You know, Hazard drifted out left. He started in midfield, had midfield superiority there, and then we obviously crowd the midfield because they're bringing numbers in there. So then the wing backs, they go into the open space wide, Hazard just out wide, and then offers a perfect cross to Morata. So Conte had a clear plan, and it was to manipulate Atletico's 4-man midfield into a weak spot, to where they draw us centrally, and then they attack the wings, and then just nothing fancy, just throw the ball in the penalty box.
And it worked like a charm. It really did.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, Juanfran got a bit of a lashing on Twitter. But, you know, neither fullback had a very good game. I thought Felipe did all right defensively. He had very little going forward. He didn't have any of those runs, the overlapping runs that he craves. He needs those types of runs. They just weren't coming for him.
Yeah, Juanfran, to me, it's become clear that Simeone trusts him defensively, and even though Hazard gave him some issues, Hazard is going to give any right back, any right-sided center back, you know, issues. But that's why Simeone has him there. It's just we've all criticized him here on this podcast that going forward he doesn't offer much anymore. He can find space, but what's good if you can find space and you don't do anything with that space, which is what Juanfran does. It's just in terms of the attacking half, he doesn't offer anything there.
Yeah, and he's definitely not the presence he used to be. And defensively, Juanfran's never been the fastest. He's never been the strongest, but he's always been more agile, deceptively agile, and more intelligent. But his agility, I think, has left him. And like you said, Hazard's going to do this to just about everyone because he's an elite player. But with Juanfran, it was just a really bad matchup. And I got to think, well, this is a question we got from Chris Galvez at Chris J. Galvez. Would playing Shime Versalico have changed the dynamic of this game? Would Versalico or even Jimenez, I would submit, would either of them have really been able to stem the tide?
Versalico, it's as clear as day that when he gets on that right flank and Atleti do their three-man combination just to find space and do the low pass or the cross, whatever, that Versalico is more accurate. His delivery, as simple as that, is just better than Juanfran from what we've seen last season, right?
Yeah.
So, in this game, where our game plan, and I'll touch up on this in my analysis, we really did like to overload Chelsea's side and just, you know, try to stretch out their back line that way. And Versalico, in theory, it would have worked, but I think Chelsea's, you know, cohesion at the back, it still would have been tough for Versalico too, though. So I think all around, I think Griezmann should have been better.
Yeah.
In this game, there was a, you know, just to point out some of the other players. Obviously, we touched on Koke. Thomas Partey. This was a real measuring stick for him. I've seen better performances from him this season, and I don't think it's a surprise that this. Mm-hmm. A game in which he influenced less was against a top quality opponent. But Correa, I don't know if you remember, Jeremy, he had his first touch where he flicked the ball over his shoulder close to Chelsea's penalty area. I think he passed it off to Griezmann, but he has this ability to do things by himself with literally no space. I think it was Gary Cahill that was literally on his back. And he did this, and he freed up the space completely, and he fed off the pass, and he created. But I think it was, I don't know if it was later on with Griezmann or Carrasco that he fed it to, but that moment of brilliance is something that Atletico need.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for all the great teams out there that pass the ball well, you still need players that can do things and make magic by themselves. And Atletico haven't really had that caliber player. I mean, we've had Costa, we've had world-class center backs, but in terms of that individual flair, we don't really have that in the past. We haven't really had that, but Correa offers that, and I'm happy Diego Simeone has been rotating.
Yeah, yeah, I am too, and we've talked about it on the pod before. The rotation game has really worked so far this season, I think. And the squad was in really good shape entering this game. And I wouldn't say I was confident, but I was optimistic. I mean, Atletico, I think, were considered the favorites in this game. And they just looked... It was stunning to me in a way how uncomfortable Chelsea made them. And Correa, speaking to your point earlier, I vaguely remember that, but Correa is certainly capable of making those game-changing decisions, you know, on his own. He's done it already this season.
Yeah.
And it's great that he's playing more. He and Griezmann are the team's two best forwards. It's not even close. But even Correa had problems getting through this midfield. He was dispossessed, I think, 8 times and managed just one shot in 70 minutes. And it was kind of his first speed bump of the season, but he wasn't alone, obviously. But even he struggled to find a way through.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I never said that he had a good game by any means.
Sure.
It's just that, you know, in correlation to what the question was with, you know, could Versalico have made a difference? yes, you know, in theory, yes, but Chelsea were so good that maybe not. So I was thinking of what Atletico could have needed in a game like this to unlock such a stingy defense. And it is that Messi-esque, Neymar-esque individual skill.
Right.
That can draw the attention, pull a center back all the way, you know, little bit out of the penalty box, get space, and then pass it on to another great player like a Griezmann, Carrasco that we have. So it is those moments that I'd like to see more of consistently, which is what obviously Messi and Neymar, those types of players, Cristiano, that they offer more consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in assessing a player, I like to, you know, of course we all like to take the positive and the negative, but I think it, you know, no matter how bad Correa played, it's worth noting that this, to me, is what Atletico need, that type of player.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, they need a lot more flair than is consistently on display. And yeah. Exactly. And not even Griezmann doesn't even have that flair. And Griezmann got some criticism as well for his performance, even though he scored the goal. And Griezmann found himself, I think, shackled a lot. I don't know how much of that was Simeone. I don't know how much of it was he just couldn't impose his will in such a tight game, but Griezmann, I think, was kind of shackled a bit, and we were used to seeing him kind of in that Messi-esque role, in that kind of free role where he pops up, creates, but a lot of his passing was just backward, it was regressive, and he also managed just one shot. I mean, just, again, a great job from Conte, but do you think Griezmann could have imposed himself more, or was it just Conte's game plan was just inch perfect in that way?
I think Griezmann, of course, I mean, on the break and in transition from defense to attack, he's always going to be a player that you have to keep your eye on. It's going to find space, but when Chelsea are, you know, sitting in that, you know, that really compact 5-3-2, Griezmann is going to get isolated many times.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Barca and the way maybe Suarez and Messi, the 1-2s they do when maybe a midfielder comes up just on the edge of the penalty box and they can offer this, you know, combination of just pinpoint accuracy, one touch, first touch, find another guy, back heel to another guy, you know, it's those type of combinations that Atleti don't do. But if you want to penetrate other than crossing the ball, it's what you need, and Griezmann mm-hmm. is not a player that is good at that. He's just not.
Yeah, let's talk about things that Letty kind of need or could do or possibly need to do. Tactically, I think Simeone, he changed shape a couple times in this game. He moved to 4-3-3 about half an hour in, and not coincidentally, Letty started to push up. They got the penalty from the David Luiz foul on Lucas Hernandez, and they kind of carried that on for until about the hour mark when Chelsea equalized. Then we saw Jose Jimenez come on for about the final 15 minutes, and Atleti moved to three at the back. Were you excited by that development? Do you think it helped?
Oh, when they went to the three at the back at the end of the second half?
Yeah, when Jimenez came on with about 13 minutes to go, 12, 13 minutes to go.
Yes. And I don't know if you agree, but maybe a lot of people forgot too, but in the last, I would say 15 minutes or so, Atleti was the clear-cut better team.
I would agree with that.
In terms of creating. Obviously, we can argue, did they really threaten Chelsea as much? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but in terms of creating and being forthright and trying to take, you know, their destiny into their own hands, Atletico were the better team. So I don't think it was a surprise that it was a result of the back three. And the reason is because when Jimenez got slotted to the right of Godin in that back three, Juanfran and Felipe Luis, they play obviously more wing-back role, and they push themselves up higher knowing that they have three guys centrally to cover. So when in attack, what happened was we would pass to the wing backs, and then if Chelsea tried to smother the flanks, we'd pass to Koke, and then we'd switch to play, and we just tried to find direct balls and holes in the back line to find a second ball, and then maybe get a shot off or a quick pass and shoot. So in that regard, I think the 3-4-3, which we play in attack, it offers more unpredictability to the opposition in terms of a direct style of play. But by no means did I see the 3-4-3 help our, you know, quick passing, you know, possession football cohesion. I didn't see that at all. I saw our long balls got better. That's about it.
And it was kind of the same way when Simeone moved to 3 at the back against Girona last month.
Exactly. And it was the same thing. It was, yep. Chelsea, they were reading what was going on. It was not what they were prepared to do. Obviously, they're world-class players. They didn't concede any goals, but we found the holes in the back line more because we manipulated the space we were offering Chelsea differently than what we usually do with the 4-3-3 in attack. So
in both instances, long ball delivery was much better, which is something I noticed.
That's about it, though.
Yeah,
you know, for the listeners out there, the 3-4-3 in attack as it is right now, what we saw in those last 12 minutes or so, it was nothing like wow. It was just we had better crosses, better long balls.
I still do think, though, it's something that Simeone needs to consider. I mean, he's only used it twice this season, and he's rolled it out when Atleti have been kind of desperate. And in Girona, they were definitely desperate, and here they wanted to get the winning goal. I do think he's – and again, I wrote about this a month ago about this 3-4-3, it was a 3-4-2 because Griezmann was off at the time. But I do think it's something they need to experiment with, more tactical versatility, more unpredictability. I do think it's something that can be worked on, worked with. You have a situation here where there really isn't a reliable right back right now, with one front kind of a liability at this point. Versalico always getting hurt. Jimenez not really an established right back. But you have the tools here, I think, to run a pretty effective 3-4-3, especially in January when Costa comes in.
I mean, Simeone is obviously going to experiment with it, especially in a big game like this, because he feels there's something there.
Yeah,
he definitely feels there's something there. I also feel like he went to in defense it's a back five, obviously, but I feel like he also went put Jimenez in a back three because in the second half Chelsea started pushing their wing backs super high to the point where it was looking like they were playing with like five forwards at certain points. And obviously it becomes more of like a five versus four at the back four, lefty, which is not good against a good team like Chelsea, which are, you know, that are so good at playing with their wing back. So I think Simeone also did it for defensive cover to hold the tie. I think it was first to defensive cover to hold the tie. And of course, obviously we've had some success in terms of creation with Girona with the 3-4-3, so why not just give it a go?
Yeah, that's fair enough. And obviously it didn't work, as Chelsea still found the winning goal on just a superb passing move. Like, I was watching it, and time slowed down for me to the point where I wasn't even angry when the ball went in. Like, I knew it was going to happen. It was like watching a car accident. Time just slowed down. Like, there's one pass. There's another pass. Marcos Alonso's got it now, and there's Batshuayi to finish it off. Like, you could just see it developing right before your very eyes, and I don't really think there was much that could have been done. I mean, if you are aggressive and try to clear the ball, you lose your shape from very tight, very close position in front of goal. It was just one of those things, and Chelsea, in the end, I think they probably deserved to win, and Simeone thought so as well, saying that Chelsea completely dominated.
If you looked at both teams had a certain game plan, and if you had to choose one that was executing their game plan better than the other team for the whole 90, it was definitely Chelsea overall. Yeah,
for sure. And I think when these two meet again in December, I think Simeone will probably be a little better prepared. We don't know. We won't know the squad makeup at that point, but I think he'll be a bit more ready. As for the future and in the Champions League, how damaging do you think this loss was to qualification chances? I think you can agree first place in the group is probably out of reach at this point, but how much do you think this damages finishing second and advancing to the knockout stage?
I think with our team, Atletico Madrid, it's especially damaging due to the fact that these stoppage time heartbreaks build up over time, especially in the span of 7 years. Now, obviously, not every one of those 7 years have we experienced a stoppage time defeat in, you know, UCL group stage, knockout rounds, whatever. But there's a lot of guys in the dressing room that have experienced one of these type of defeats before, and all the young players certainly know their you know, recent history. So psychologically, I really don't know how Simeone does it to keep these guys fighting fairly well despite what happened in Lisbon, despite, you know, the defeat in Milan. What Simeone does in terms of motivation has been outstanding, but we all have to ask ourselves as Atletico supporters, you know, how much can we take with these type of defeats? You know, you look at the manner in which Chelsea scored that, and it was methodical. It, to me, it looked like they literally practiced on the training ground what to do for a last minute free kick. Uh-huh. You know, don't go for the cross.
Uh-huh.
Go for the short pass, and then, you know, build up out wide. It, to me, it looked methodical. It looked like a coach who leaves absolutely nothing to chance, which Simeone is considered one of those coaches that leaves nothing to chance. But you look at that and it's like, wow, that's a team goal. They rose to the occasion late on, never gave up, and it's like, we're two similar teams, and that is what we don't have, that team cohesion around the penalty area. And it's deflating.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. And you're right. Like, it looked like they were passing around like traffic cones. You're just watching, bang in the net. And it's very damaging. And
they certainly practice.
Yeah.
You know, Conte practices, you know, dead ball situations. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. It's a damaging loss. As you said, they've been through this before and they just keep getting up off the mat. The way I see it, I think Atleti have to win their next three games. They're fortunate enough to be playing Karabag twice in Azerbaijan at international break. Then they come back to the Calderon a couple weeks later at the end of October. Karabag don't appear to be very good. Chelsea destroyed them in match day one, and then Roma notched a 2-1 win away in match day two, which puts Roma ahead of Atletico in the group. So that's a golden opportunity to make up 6 points. And Roma will have two against Chelsea. Chelsea look like they're just going to steamroll to the top of the group. So I would be surprised if Roma won either game. I mean, who knows? Stranger things have happened, but Atleti are not in a very good position. That could change quickly. I mean, I'm not going to go so far and be so bold as to say, oh, Atleti aren't going to qualify now. It's still too early to say that. And Atleti are playing the weakest team in the group in back-to-back match days. So I'm not going to make a prediction on either way. But it's troubling. Atleti really needed to take points out of this game, and they got nothing.
I still think we're definitely going to qualify. I mean, I agree with you 100%. First place to me is out of the question at this point. But
yeah, as long as you make it, that's what matters. Is first or second? Yeah. As long as you make it.
As long as you make it, of course. But no, I still think we're going to qualify. Was it last UCL group stage or the one before where we didn't have a loss like this, obviously, but no. I think we had like two straight draws or something of that nature. And
I think it was two years ago.
I think it was last season, but doubt was creeping in, not as much as it is now, but doubt crept in. And then that next match after doubt crept in from the media and the supporters, Atletico delivered a solid performance. I forgot against who, but I think this team, when they get pushed to the wall, they overcome. I mean, if you look at either the semifinal last year, obviously we lost the first leg in disappointing fashion, but the second leg at the Vicente Calderon, we scored those two goals to, you know, to close out the deficit, and I think that's because our backs were against the wall. So I think we're going to qualify, and I think our mental resilience, although, you know, it could be put into question. So far, Simeone has a great track record with, you know, continuing to motivate his players.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see if that golden touch continues as it has for the past, you know, 6+ years. Let's talk about Leganés really quickly. That's Atletico's next game on Saturday, the last game before the international break. Atleti drew a goalless draw at Butarque last season in match day 2, and that sent a lot of alarm bells ringing. Leganés looked pretty solid this year. They have the second best defense in La Liga. They conceded just 3 goals in 6 games. They've been pretty impressive. I love their structure. They in midfield, they look very strong. Ruben Pérez, in particular, former Atletico Canterano, he has been great for them. How do you see this one going? Do you think Atleti are going to take out some anger on Leganés?
Psychologically, this game is huge. Yeah. I think you would agree.
Yes.
After a defeat like that to Chelsea, this is a game where Atletico need to get their confidence back. Because a defeat to Leganés, which I think right now is unlikely. I think we're going to go there and we're going to get the 3 points. A defeat and you know, Barcelona winning especially, and the, you know, the gap increasing, and the UCL qualification in doubt, that would be a huge blow. But as good as Leganés have been playing, I think they've won 2 in the last 5, and I know they're in a, what is there? They're in 7th place right now, I think.
Yeah, they're in 7th. They've only won once in the last 4, but no one is scoring on them. I mean, you look at the strength of their schedule is a little, you know, on the softer side, but no one's scoring on them right now.
Yeah, no, they're set up right now, as you know, as of right now, they're set up quite well defensively. It's going to be one of those games where we have to break them down.
Exactly. Atletico, I would expect them to have 55-60% possession, if not more, in this game. And that's not when Atletico are at their best. As we have seen time and time again, Atleti just are not that good when forced to break an opponent down. And Leganés are going to try to hit them on the counter. They're going to make things very difficult.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a game where I would like to see the 3-4-3.
Sure.
Against opposition like this, regardless that, you know, how they're going to set up, which, you know, they're likely going to set up defensively, but I don't think Simeone is going to do that. But this is a game where I wish he would do the 3-4-3 just to test it out a little more and maybe see how the players react to a lesser quality opponent, and maybe it could be something for the future. But I think Atleti are going to win this one.
I'm going with a 2-0 victory, although my instincts are saying it won't be 2-0. What's your scoreline prediction, Carlo?
My mind is with how Leganés have been, my mind is telling me like a 1-1 draw or a 0-0 draw.
That would be tough. That'd be tough.
But I'm just going by what the names on paper, and I expect to win. But tactically, I think, you know, how good Leganés have been, I think this could be just a draw.
It could be. I mean, Leganés do have some danger on the counter. They've scored 5 goals on the season from 5 different players. There is some danger in this. And again, Atleti didn't win there last year, but I think Atleti are going to want to make a statement before the international break. And then after international break, you come back and you host Barcelona. So that's going to be a massive game. And yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, let's go, Atleti. Let's just hope that they
Win.
Continue their good form domestically, because the Champions League has been subpar.
Yeah, not so good with a draw and a loss to this point. All right, man. What else we got to talk about?
Any other questions or not?
We do have one more question from Jake Swan at UpCandy with 3 Y's. Why haven't Atletico signed Lautaro Martinez yet? Young Argentine striker, U-20 star, was heavily linked with a move from Racing Club to Atleti, but was not confirmed before the end of the window. I think it got done or is going to get done in January, but Racing's president had said there was a deal agreed with Atletico. I don't know how much you know about him. But
I think the transfer ban put, you know, maybe stopped some of the momentum on that, but yeah, I mean, according to the sources from Argentina, I'm pretty sure you're right. He's going to come in January.
There you go. You heard it here. Lautaro Martinez in January. Love when we break news on this podcast.
Yeah, so, I mean, that'll be a good sign. But, I mean, January, Diego Costa has to depending where we're at, I hope we're, you know, still in the Champions League. Diego Costa has to be that guy that bullies the center backs and scores goals.
Yeah. And how excited were you when it was finally announced? I was very excited, despite my, you know, reservations about how the deal went down and, you know, how good it could be. But how excited were you?
I was very excited. I mean, obviously, we'd be more excited if he could just, well, if he had been able to play from, you know, the start of the season. But this is a player that I think his quality aside, I think Atletico supporters are even happier given the fact that his heart is with the club.
Mm-hmm.
You just look no further than his reaction after his former coach and team won the match. So I was very excited given the fact that I believe his heart is with the club. I believe his heart is with Simeone. I believe his heart is with Profe Ortega. So January needs to come.
Yeah.
Right now.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, but he's gotta get in shape for his El Profe is gonna, he won't intentionally try to kill him, but it may seem like that as he gets him into shape.
Yeah, he's he does have a reputation, right, of being slightly overweight, you know, by pro soccer player standards. Kind of has like that Higuain fitness about him.
A little bit.
But he'll get in shape, and Atletico are renowned for their technical staff at the highest level. So when players go to Atletico, they know that they have to be in ready to run a lot,
because
our game relies around, you know, speed, physicality, pace.
Most definitely. Well, we're going to leave it here for this edition of Colts Neural Chat. I'd like to thank my guest, Carlo Valladares.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy, for having me on. Let's hope we get those 3 points against Leganés.
Let us hope, my friend. You can follow Carlo on Twitter at @C_V_news. I'll ask him to stick around for just a second while I complete the sign-off message. You can follow me on Twitter at @JBBaren, JBBERen. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/, you guessed it, Into the Calderon. Colts Neural Chat. You can subscribe and listen on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and tune in. Leave a rating and review on iTunes. Helps our visibility, helps us get noticed, helps us get more listens, more fans. We love our fans. Also, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat, if you're interested in supporting the show, if you're interested in learning about the benefits inherent to being a patron, patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. We will catch you on Monday when we'll review Leganés, get ready for the long, cold international break. Until then, adios.